In this episode, we listened to a guest post from a young men's president, Chris Allen, and he talks about how he has adjusted his shadow leadership to emphasize the leadership of the young men in his young men's program.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the own and only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Leading LDS. I sort of get tired of starting each episode like that, but I don't know. It just seems like the thing to say, right? This is the podcast. This is what we do. If this is your first time experiencing the Leading LDS podcast, you've got a lot to catch up on, but it's okay. I think you'll find it a good use of your time and enjoyable. And most of all, it'll benefit you in your leadership calling, whatever that may be. Even if it's outside of the church, these things will benefit you in your quest to be a better leader in society, right? And a few weeks ago, I got an email from a nice person called Chris Allen, and he's a young men's president in Sandy, Utah. And he was kind enough to send me this email and say, hey, guess what? I wrote an article that I'd like you to consider putting on Leading LDS. And I'm like, oh, this is beautiful, right? These are the type of emails I love to get. And I read through the article. It was fantastic. We shared some ideas back and forth. He made a few tweaks on his own, and he said, all right, it's ready. Let's do this. And so in this episode, he reads it to us. And like I always do, I like to put our written articles in the audio format, but I encourage you to go to Leading LDS and actually spend time reading this, because you'll get more out of it as you read it, because it was meant to be read, not listened to. But nonetheless, we know you're busy, so we're putting it in the audio format. And so it's actually read by the author, Chris Allen, and really fantastic thoughts about church leadership and shadowing young men, being a shadow leader to young men in the young men's program. So here is Chris Allen reading his article.
I was sitting in one of those 7 a.m., I'm half asleep, priesthood training meetings, listening to the stake president teach. I was struggling to pay attention until a single phrase focused my thoughts and brought the promptings of the Spirit on me like a floodwater bursting over a levee. The stake president said, if a young man has to come to you at the start of priesthood meeting to find out what the plan for the week is, you're not doing things right. This simple phrase changed the way I lead my young men. I'm currently the young men president in my ward, and I have served in the young men program almost continually since I turned 12, whether formally or informally, and I have dramatically changed how I lead the young men over the years. I used to lead from the front of the room, where I would speak, teach, and share wisdom and knowledge in a strong and authoritative manner. But as my understanding of young men and their needs has matured, I now lead from the back of the room. This back of the room approach is often referred to as shadow leadership, and in my experience has been harder to master, but yields significantly better results. The Church Handbook of Instruction makes clear that the young men are the leaders and the adults are called as youth advisors. An advisor's job is to guide and mentor the leaders, who can then lead the rest of the young men. An advisor essentially acts as a sounding board and validator. I have tried to apply shadow leadership in a few key scenarios: presidency meetings, priesthood opening exercises, quorum meetings, and mutual activities. Presidency meeting for the young men is vital. This is where the quorum leaders learn leadership skills and gain knowledge and confidence for what they need to do the rest of the week. Presidency meeting is presided over by the quorum president, who is either a deacon, a teacher, or the bishop, who is the president of the priest quorum. Can be conducted by any member of the presidency, with the exception of the bishop. The secretary prepares an agenda for the meeting. You can find an example agenda at lds.org. The adult advisors, including the bishop, try hard not to speak unless necessary. But for a fun exercise, try counting how many sentences you speak each meeting and try to reduce it each week. The conducting youth leads the discussion, seeking input from the adults when needed. This takes time to develop, but is amazing to see done well. At the beginning, the young men may need promptings on each agenda item and often look to the adult for permission to start the meeting. move to the next agenda item, or assign action items. Over time, coach the youth to do these things on their own. Sit in silence and wait for that awkward tension to build while the youth venture out from being led to being leaders. The young men discuss the needs of each member of the quorum. What come follow me discussion topics would be best and who should teach them? What mutual activities best meet the needs of the quorum? What training is needed for priesthood duties assigned to the quorum? Reflect on past activities or lessons and discuss things that went well and what did not go well. Key training items can and should be assigned to the adult advisors. But once again, youth pick topics to train on. As they progress, try not showing up to presidency meeting at all, leaving the youth to run the meeting on their own. Ask how things went and be amazed at how capable they are without you. After a successfully run presidency meeting, the young men are clear on what the plan for the upcoming week is. They know dates, times, details, and assigned items for priesthood duties, quorum meeting discussions, mutual activities, and other activities or assignments. Why? Because they planned all of it themselves. Now, when the priest quorum assistant is asked to step up to the microphone in priesthood opening exercises, he has a written agenda with the details in front of him and can confidently say, "The priest will be meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. to go shovel snow for the widows of the ward. Please dress warmly and bring your snow shovels." He sends out a reminder to the young men midweek and shows up and leads the activity with enthusiasm. He planned the event and the details. He's invested in making it successful, and the rest of the presidency supports him. As an advisor, any questions from the parents or other youth are forwarded to the youth leaders, but support is still given as needed. I find the most success when the youth are not only formally recognized as the leader, but also treated as one at all times. After a well-executed opening exercises, quorum meeting is a crucial time to let the youth lead. All too often, I've seen a quorum meeting start out by having the adult advisor say something like, "Why don't we get started now?" or "Who's conducting today?" Try to avoid this. If the advisor starts the meeting, he's inadvertently telling the youth leader to follow and not lead. As the advisor, coach the leaders on this beforehand. Once you're in quorum meeting, the youth do the talking. Let them sit in awkward silence, waiting for you to start the meeting. After a minute and sometimes a good stare from the advisor, they will remember to start the meeting. The next week they conduct, they will jump right in and do it. Quorum meetings are also key areas where the youth need to feel safe sharing their feelings and thoughts for personal testimony development. Having the youth lead fosters this environment. Midweek mutual activity is the time for the young men to execute what they have planned. Mutual activities range from just show up simple, like basketball, to very complex. Depending on the capabilities of the current youth leaders in the quorum, they may need more support for some activities. Ideally, the youth are making the arrangements ahead of time, assigning action items in Sunday quorum meetings. The youth sends out a text or makes some phone calls to remind others and make final preparations. When the event starts, the youth leaders are left to start the activity on their own. This is often one of the hardest tasks the youth perform, as quieting down rowdy youth can intimidate a subdued and quiet young man. Prompt them as necessary, but eventually youth leaders gain confidence in bringing everyone together and giving instructions for activities. The advisor's job is not to tell the youth what to do and how to do it. No matter how poorly the event is running, resist the urge to fix things. We want so badly to step in when the deacons are goofing off in the corner and put them on task, but take a deep breath and let the youth leaders handle the deacons. The goal is not to have a perfectly executed activity, but to allow the youth to lead. This can be hard to watch, but will pay off in better missionaries, parents, and church leaders. There may be times when adults need to step in to enforce safety rules or stop other harmful situations. But the main role the adult advisors play is one-on-one mentors and role models and active participants in the activities. Mutual is rarely planned and run by the adults. As adult advisors, we often want elaborate and perfectly executed activities. These are nice and provide some benefit to the youth. But with a proper dose of guidance, youth leaders can plan and execute even better activities while learning more in the process. Shadow leadership is as it sounds. It's done from the shadows. Everyone sees the youth doing all the work and will not see you. The shadow leader accepts criticism because when the youth truly lead, they will sometimes fail. They will plan activities that do not go smoothly. They will teach lessons that are unorganized, poorly planned, or even totally forgotten. This may look like laziness to other leaders, but the hands-off approach yields more benefits for the youth. It's okay to fail. These rough patches promote real teaching moments. When these failures happen, adult leaders can tactfully start a dialogue about what went well, what went poorly, and what can be done to improve. The youth learn quickly not to criticize themselves, but to improve for the next time. The magic moments happen when the youth take ownership of the activities and combine their skills to plan and execute successfully. We're here to serve the youth. The best way to do that is to step to the back of the room, let them step to the front, and prepare them to become the leaders of the future.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I appreciate you writing that and sharing your ideas and thoughts. I hope you, the listeners, benefited from that, and especially the young men, young women leaders across the church that maybe tune in. Really, really good thoughts on that. And I love the concept of being a shadow leader. It means you are remain in the shadows. You're not front and center coaching them along, but you're there as a resource and as an advisor. And here's the best thing about this article. After he recorded it, I got him to stay recording even longer, and I went through a typical How I Lead interview, which you will hear this coming, I plan to post it Tuesday. So hopefully if everything goes well with editing and my schedule, that's the plan, but it'll be the very next How I Lead interview where we go through with Chris and really dig into how he leads as a young men's leader. And so I hope you enjoy it. Fantastic resource, and go to leadinglds.com to read the article and really ponder over it and think how you can apply some of the points and leadership principles therein. So until next time, be a leader and not a calling.